Morning, church. My name is Stephen. Title of this morning's sermon. Let's just pray. It says in Psalm 122, it says, I was glad when someone says, let's go to the house of the Lord. Lord God, we are glad that we're in your house. Thank you, Lord God, that we're here this morning and we can worship you freely, Lord. Father God, speak to us. Lord, feed us today, Lord. Speak to us in our hearts, Lord. Let us hear you, Lord. Take every word I say, Lord, and do something with it, Lord. Every word, Lord, speak into our hearts, Lord God, and change us, transform us, Lord God. Fill us with your life, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the title of this morning's sermon. I've been thinking, it's actually a sort of phrase, it's used a lot through the Old Testament, walking before God and walking in God and walking with God. It's all the way through the Old Testament, and I've been thinking quite a lot about it over the last few months and just pondering what that actually means for us to live like that, just so we know where we're going. Actually, Andy, can you just put the last slide up, the one with all of the points on? We'll just leave that up there because it'll remind me what I'm supposed to be preaching. But that's where we're going. And I just want to talk about what it means, actually, to walk by faith. There's lots of different aspects of faith, and that would be a massive sermon, wouldn't it, if I was to really dig into it. But I'm just going to pick a few things out, actually, and not even do it justice, but just the sort of things that I think that God's sort of put on my heart. And my first scripture, really, really well-known scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. In my translation here, it says, for we live by believing, not by seeing. But I think in most translations, it says, we live by faith, not by sight. The context of that is Paul's talking about, we're all going to die. And, our bodies are dying now. From the moment we're born, we're dying. And one day we're going to, but he's saying we've got another body in heaven, and we're believing in that, and we're looking forward to that, and we're thanking God for that. But the wider implication is that we live as Christians by faith, not by sight. It's like there's two types of cars. I mean, these days there's lots of types of cars, isn't there? You can have like hybrid cars and electric cars and all that kind of thing. But traditionally, there's two types of cars, petrol or diesel. And they take different fuel. You put petrol in a diesel car, goodbye car. Very bad thing to do. Destroy your car, wasted a lot of money. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit makes our spirit alive and we get a brand new engine. Something happens inside of us and we become completely different. And we stop living by sight and start living by faith. And if all we do is pour into ourselves sight, then it destroys the engine. The Christian life stops working. We get this new engine and we're totally different. What we needed before to live was everything that we can see around us. We see it, we interpret it, we understand it. We think, right, I'll do this, this, and this on the basis of that, that, and that. And then I'll get this, this, and this result, hopefully. But when we become Christians, suddenly we get a new engine and we've got different fuel. And our fuel is the fuel of faith. Suddenly we're transformed and we have to start filling ourselves with a different fuel. We have to start walking in faith and not by what we see anymore. It says in second scripture, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, verse 11 we'll start out. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving of us as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will become true. Then you will not become spiritually dull, indifferent. Instead, you will follow the examples of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. It says we inherit God's promises because of faith and endurance, or else in other translations it says patience. But, you know, essentially the same thing. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. In Hebrews chapter 10, just at the end of it, just before the really famous chapter about faith, it says, verse 35, it says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember a great reward. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in those who turn away. But we are not those who turn away. What the author's saying is, we're not those ones that turn away. We're the righteous ones. We live by faith. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. And then just to dip in a little bit into the next chapter. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. So sort of bringing all that together, we live not by sight, not by what we see around us, but we live by faith. And faith is an assurance inside of us that everything that God has promised us is going to happen. And the Holy Spirit, through faith, produces inside of us evidence that we can stand on. Because if you're going to believe something, you have to have evidence. But faith produces, according to the author of Hebrews, evidence inside of us that we can stand on. And the faith gives us an assurance that everything that God says, that God is always true to his word, whatever he's promised you, he is going to do. And through patience, we inherit that promise. Through living out patiently, we inherit it. I don't know about you. I'm all right with the faith bit most of the time. Some of the time I'm not. Patience bit, I'm still working on. I like the way the author in Hebrews there, he says, through faith and patience, Abraham inherited the promise. I don't know if you've read the story of Abraham, but I'm not sure how patient he actually was. He lost his patience, didn't he? He stumbled along the way. But, you know, he still inherited the promise because he did find his patience again. And God's word was true. God spoke the word to him. It's going to happen. I don't know where you are with patience, but maybe this morning you need to get hold of it again. But God's word is true anyway. What God's promised you, he will fulfill. I mean, there's different sorts of promises in God, isn't there? I think there are those, like, God promised the Israelites, he says to them, I'm going to give you the promised land. And Joshua says, you're going to cross over into it. The problem was, there was loads of people there already. They had to fight for it. I think that's one type of promise. And there are promises that we have to strive for spiritually. We don't strive with, like, you know, trying to plan things out. And, you know, I think all of those things are valid, but it has to come from a basis of faith and what's happening in our hearts spiritually. But there's other types of promises that, I mean, like the promise God made to Abraham, he swore it in his own name. He says, this is going to happen. And even though Abraham didn't always have patience, the promise still happened. God's plan for your life is sure. What God's got for you, he's going to make a way for it to happen. I'm amazed at different points in my life where my attitude's been wrong, but then God's brought me to the place where he wants me to be. He's changed my attitude and he's brought it around. God's promises to us are sure. Years ago, Martin, I was at a band of brothers before this church started, and Martin gave me this word. He says, because at the time I was, you know, I loved God, but I was struggling with, like, man, I'm still single and, you know, I'm getting old, God, you know, what's going on? What's going on, Lord? You know, why is this happening? And it doesn't do a lot for your self-confidence either, because you think, well, you know, is there something wrong with me? And maybe there is, but... But I thought, you know, is there something wrong with me? What's going on, God? And then you start thinking, well, does God want me to be single the rest of my life? And I'm like, well, I don't want that. But maybe God's, you know, blessed me with that. And I was just like, you know, that's what was in my heart. And Martin prophesied over me, and he says, oh, Stephen, you're wondering why, you know, you're still single. But the Lord wants to say to you that that it's because he wants you to really have a time of getting into his word and understanding it. And he says, and you know, do that. And there will be someone for you, you know. And I thought, it sort of blessed me and annoyed me at the same time. It blessed me in the one sense because it thought, oh, there is hope out there. And it annoyed me because it sounded like God was saying, it's going to be ages yet. and it was. And I'd like to say that after receiving that word, the next few years was a whole period of patient endurance. but it wasn't. But God still fulfilled his promise. There's people along the way over the years, you know, and maybe it might have worked out with them or that person or the other person, but I'm glad it didn't. And I'd like to say that all of those relationships would have been rubbish, but actually, they'd have probably been all right. They might have even been good, but they wouldn't have been awesome. And I want you to know that whatever God's promised for you, however long you have to wait, you know, Abraham waited years. I mean, years and years and years and years. But the promise was awesome. Anything that came in between would have been rubbish. God's promise is always awesome. I mean, I'll tell you this story. I don't know whether it doesn't necessarily fit in my sermon, but it does tell you about the awesomeness of God, and I love it, so I want to tell you. Some of you know this story, but like talking about Sarah and I used to work for the council until quite recently, and they had a building on Fabian Road in Eston. If you don't know where that is, it doesn't really matter, but I used to work in there, the town hall, and on a lunchtime, because even though I'm a programming geek, actually, I'm an outdoor person. I'd rather climb a mountain than program a computer. And so I used to go on a lunchtime. I would get out of the building just to get some sanity, and I'd go for a walk. And I'd just, you know, 10, 20 minutes, just walk around, come back to the building, and, you know, and I used to pray as well. I mean, it wasn't like a prayer walk, but I would chat to God. And at the time, I was living in a flat in Middlesbrough, which I was renting, and I was in the place that you might call the rent trap. I couldn't afford a mortgage because I was renting. And I remember I used to walk past some houses up for sale, and I used to look at them, and I just prayed in my heart. I was like, and you know, out loud as well. I was like, there was one of the houses there. I thought, oh, that would be good for me, Lord. It wasn't anything special. It wasn't like a mansion or anything. I just thought, oh, it's about the right size. I don't need a massive house. It's got a little bit of a garden. And bonus, it's round the corner from work. I can save loads of fuel. and every day I just walk past and I just sort of pray that. And I wasn't naming and claiming it or anything. And I wasn't shouting out in tongues every time I went past it. I was just like, you know, that'd be a good house, Lord. You know, maybe you could sort that out for me, Lord. I don't know how it could happen, but that would be a really good house, Lord. It turned out that particular house, actually, the guy had lived there. It was an old guy. It had died. And the family was trying to sell it. And it was the house was, you know, it was just full of old, you know, kitchens and, you know, bathrooms and stuff. And they were having trouble selling it. And after about a year... So it was a long time walking past just every day, you know, oh, Lord, that would be a good house. After about a year, it was sold, but I married the woman who bought it. So. Just for the house, yeah. No. Or as... As Santa said to me when I said that to her, she went, well, at least you knew it was the right woman. It's awesome, isn't it? That's really awesome. You know, God loves us. God's got such an awesome and beautiful plan for our life. Let's start living by faith. You know, I didn't name it and claim it. I didn't storm the heavenlies. But God loves us. I just prayed out of my heart, God, that would be great. That would be great. God heard my prayer. And God's promise to me that Martin gave as well was sure. It came true. It seemed impossible. I felt like I got to a point in life where, you know, forget about that. You know, just get your Bible, Stephen, preach the word and, you know, be like Paul or something in the Bible. But God's promise is true. Whatever God's promise is over your life, it's true. Even if right now it doesn't feel like it's ever going to happen, even if it feels like it's impossible, like God can't do it. Well, I just want you to know that God can do it. Fill your tank with the right fuel. Put that faith in there and say, God, I trust you. Maybe this morning you need to repent and say, God, I'm sorry I stopped believing you. This morning, even though, you know, you don't have to feel faith sometimes, even if you don't feel it, just say, God, I repent. I'm sorry for not believing you. I choose this morning to trust in your promise. It's good to have a word from God, isn't it? It says in, I can find this, 2 Chronicles, there's a war going on, and Jehoshaphat is fighting the nations around him, Moab, Ammon, and Edom. I mean, that's pretty much the entire Old Testament. There's a war going on with Moab, Ammon, or Edom. But Jehoshaphat is fighting him, and he's one of the good kings, and he trusts in the Lord. And he says this to his people, when I find it. He says in chapter 2 Chronicles 20, in verse 20, it says, on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped, and he speaks to the people, and he says, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. It's fascinating scripture. It just blows me away every time I read it, because I don't expect to read it for some reason. It says, listen to me, all you people of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. So what's Jehoshaphat saying? He's saying to the people of God, he's saying, if you believe in God, if you trust in God, you'll be able to stand your ground. No one's going to knock you down if you believe in God. If you get knocked down 1,000 times, you'll get up 1,000 times. If you believe in God, if you put your trust in God, you'll stand firm. But then he goes on, he says, believe in his prophets. And I don't think it's the same sense as believing in God. He's talking about what the prophets have said, what God has spoken through them. He says, believe in the prophets. He says, you will succeed. Not only will you stand, you will move forward. You'll prosper. You'll go forward. You won't just stand, but you'll progress. If we're really going to move forward in God, then we need to start trusting in the promises that God's given us. We need to depend on God. We need to believe in God. We need to trust that God is God. And God loves us and believe in that. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But we also need to trust in the promises that God's got for us. I don't know about you, but when you have those meetings, you know, where they've got a speaker and they're like, oh, you over there, I've got this word for you and you. In my heart, I'm like, me, Lord. Because we all love to receive a word, don't we? We all love to receive a word. But the word's the first bit. Believing in it, then is how, it's through that believing and through the patience that we inherit that promise, that we succeed, that we move forward. We don't just stand firm. And if you've never had that, well, why don't you ask God? Why don't you ask God, give me a word, speak to me, Lord, tell me what the promises are of my life. And if you don't want that, there's something wrong with you. I mean that seriously, actually. If you don't want that, there's something wrong with you. Deal with it. I know that's quite harsh, I'm sorry. But it's true. It's true. If you don't want that, just close your eyes for a moment and think, why don't I want that? What's wrong with me, God? Show me, Lord. Is there something I need to repent of? Is there some issue? Maybe you don't want to know God's will because maybe you don't want to fulfill it, or maybe you're scared of it, or there's all sorts of reasons why you might not want it. They're not all like appalling, terrible reasons, but you know, it's still wrong. Get rid of it. Because God doesn't want you to just stand firm. That's not why Jesus died, and it's not the kingdom of God to stand firm. Jesus says the kingdom of God advances. So the violent take it by force. Those who are determined take it by force. The kingdom of God advances. It doesn't stand still in your life. God's, if you, you know, receive the promises, look for them. But I was thinking about the other bit as well. It says, believe in the Lord your God. Sometimes that can be the difficult one, actually, funny enough. A few years back, I remember saying to my work colleague at work, almost bragging really, but I think I wasn't like proud or anything, I think. but I said to her, we were talking about God. I can't remember what the context was. I think there was a context to it, you know, that made it at least 10% normal, what I said. But I said to her, you know what? No matter what happens in life, I always end up, you know, coming out well because I've got God on my side. Somehow, I says, no matter what happens, it works out for me in a way that it doesn't seem to work out for a lot of people. And I said that with real confidence. I meant it. But after that, I don't really know what happened. Something happened. And I can think of about 10 different things, but none of them seem to really hit her. I don't know what it was, but somehow I seem to lose my faith in that. Still loved Jesus. Still loved God. Still worshipped God. Still had an anointing. But somewhere in my heart, I stopped believing that God wanted to bless me. And that God, I knew that God loved me, but his love, you know, didn't quite work that way for some reason. And I stopped believing that God's plans for me were just awesome, that God loved me. And let me tell you what God is like. Psalm 91, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Do you believe that? He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises to you are your armor and protection. God's faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the arrows that fly by day. Do not dread the diseases that stalk in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying all around you, these evils won't touch you. That's for you. That's for me. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord Most High your refuge and make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. I love this next verse. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Wow. He will order his angels to protect you. Seriously. That's awesome. I stopped believing that for some reason. I don't know why. But since coming to Amazing Grace, probably Route 61, and you know, God's been slowly just chipping away, and I've started really believing, God, you want to bless me. And Sarah's helped me loads as well. I've got a wife who just believes God can do anything, anytime, any moment, which is fab. And it convicts me sometimes. It's good. Thank you, Lord. For those who sort of know my testimony, and I'm not going to go through it, but I had a real picture of the cross, and I saw Jesus on the cross, and I realized all my sins were forgiven. A few months ago, I was thinking about that. And I felt something from the Holy Spirit that said, you spent a lot of time, Stephen, at the cross. Maybe it's time that you go through the cross and come into the Father's house. And I thought, whoa, yeah. Spent all my time receiving your forgiveness. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. Maybe it's time I went through the cross, which is the purpose of the cross, into the Father's house. That's the thing I've always struggled with. Sarah struggled with the cross. I remember we were in the car, and, you know, I don't want to put you off, but on the route, so you have to draw God at one point. We had this conversation. I was like, Sarah, what are you going to draw? Because I was just like, I haven't got a clue. I'm not that good at drawing as well, so that didn't help. Even if I'd had an amazing idea, I wouldn't have been on strike. And she just described it, and I was just like, I was listening to her, and I thought, man, do I really know God the Father? Do I know him? And I realized that I didn't fully know him. I didn't really understand him fully. And I've been on a journey learning about that. And I think if you can get that, folks, then you can get all that in Psalm 91. Are you willing this morning to come through the cross and say, I want to enter into your house, Father. I want to enter into a place where I just believe in you, God, and I love you, and I just know that you're going to be good to me all the days of my life. That I don't have to struggle and strive all the time. And I think we are called to struggle and strive, but in the spiritual. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's no work to do. There's loads of work to do. But it's not the sort of work that everybody else does. It's a different sort of work. It can actually wear you out a bit more, actually, but it's different. It's totally different. It's not in, like, earthly things. And choose to trust and believe in God. If that's, you know, if you can, like, connect with what we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left, and I'm going to go on to that last bit. If you can connect with what I'm saying there about kind of, if that's your journey, where you're in a place where you're not really, really believing in God's goodness. Maybe this morning, you know, you're willing to repent of that and say, God, I'm sorry for not believing you. I'm willing to trust. I'm going to choose to believe you. Maybe you come forward and the team will be able to pray for you. And if you're part of the team and you want to do that, you know, you receive first. But come forward and just give it. I'm not going to pray any big prayers or anything. I might even join you on the floor or wherever you're doing. You know, I might be there, you know, but come out the front, because God's put this in my heart, so I think God wants to do something. God wants to do this for you. God wants to set you free from that and, you know, enter into a brand new place with him where you just trust in him and believe in him. It says, just my last point, quickly, it says in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Unfortunately, in my translation, it doesn't exactly say what I wanted it to say, but it says, walk before me and be blameless. And Abraham would have understood what was going on there. It's a phrase that's used all the way through the Old Testament. It's all about David walked before the Lord. Noah walked before the Lord. And we know that Enoch walked with God. But it's all really, it's a reference back, to, in Abraham's mind, it's a reference back to two things. It's a reference back to his ancestor Enoch, who walked with God. But it's also a reference back to Adam in the garden, who walked with God. It's about, and the key word is walk before me and be blameless. It's about a blamelessness. There's different ways to walk with God. And when we walk before the Lord, we walk in his full sight. And that's where God's calling us to walk. That's where God's calling every one of us to walk today, is to walk in the sight of the Lord. to walk before him. And there's just this interesting thing. When Jacob, at the end of his life, he blesses his sons, and he blesses Ephraim and Manasseh, which are Joseph's children. And this is what he says to them. He says, Genesis chapter 48, verse 15, he says, "May the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all of my life to this very day, the angel who has rescued me from all harm, may he bless these boys." And then he goes on. "May they preserve my name and the names of Abraham and Isaac. May their descendants multiply greatly throughout the earth." And I read that and I thought, isn't that interesting? Isn't that an interesting blessing that Jacob prayed? He said, "May the God whom my grandfather and Isaac walked, but the God who's been my shepherd." And I thought, that's fascinating. Why didn't he say, "The God before whom I have walked"? He didn't. He said, "The God before my ancestors Abraham and Isaac walked, and the God who's been my shepherd." And I think Jacob had got to a point at the end of his life where he realized that God had blessed him and been good to him, and he'd inherited the promise, but he hadn't walked before the Lord like his father and grandfather had. And I think maybe something in his heart, that's why he took the boys and he prayed over them. He looked at his family and he saw that most of them were a chip off the old block. And so he picks Joseph's children and he prays over them. He blesses them like Abraham and Isaac. Thinks, man, I'm going to cut this off. I want these guys to live differently. And if you look at the life of Jacob, I mean, it's awesome. God really blesses him. But different points, you know, he's like, he talks to Laban after he's ran away from him. And he says, "You know, I served you all these years and I did this. It was by the sweat of my brow," he says. And then, you know, after that, as well, after he gives this blessing to Ephraim and Manasseh, he says to Joseph, he says, "I'll give you this portion of land as well as an extra portion, which I took from the Amorites with my own sword and bow." But then you read the life of Isaac. He says, there was a famine, and it says, "And in that year, Isaac planted a crop and reaped 100-fold. How does that work? It's just a very different life. All his life, Jacob struggled to inherit the promise. But Abraham and Isaac lived in it. They just lived in it. They received it. They lived in it. I remember a few years ago, I was preaching or leading a meeting, but I saw this picture. And sometimes a picture, it gets hold of you in such a way, it never leaves you. You just keep thinking about it over the years. It keeps speaking to you. And it was just for that meeting, but it was more than that. It spoke to me. And I saw this guy. I saw a deck chair on a beach. And I saw this guy, and he was like writhing and struggling and, you know, like kicking his legs out all over the place. And I thought, what's the guy doing? And I realized that the guy was struggling to sit in a chair he was already sat in. I think we do that, don't we, sometimes? We struggle to sit in God's blessing and promises, and we're already in it. And God says this morning, stop struggling. You know, order a drink. Put your sunglasses on. And enjoy it. That's what Jacob did. Even like, he's got God's blessing over his life, and he's fighting with this angel, "Bless me, Lord." He's already blessed. He's the receiver of the promise. The most awesome promise, you know, God ever really gave anyone except, you know, all of us through Jesus. But he's received it. Let's finish there. Amen.